to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Jimmy Bass and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church.
The honors of thy name, the honors of thy name, the honors of thy name, the honors of thy name.
Our own little son, Ronnie, who died at the age of 8, loved to hear Jesus Loves Me sung. Because of meningitis and extremely high fever in infancy, Ronnie comprehended very little. He was seriously ill all of his life. But I can still see his face light up and his eyes acknowledge delight whenever I sang Jesus Loves Me to him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. As I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, he does, and the Bible tells me so.
Today's message is entitled, A Place to Begin. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen." You know, when I saw that picture, it was incredible. And within an instant, my mind flashed back to 5 decades. I could remember so clearly that I was sitting there in that gray sculptured fabric chair in the living room. I was seated in my mother's lap, and she was reading me the story of Peter Rabbit. I was so fascinated by that little renegade rabbit who went into the neighbor's forbidden garden. Oh, the picture, though, I saw the book lying on the floor there. on the floor near the bedside of my oldest grandson, James Andrew. It just was all I could do to hold back. It just flashed me back so quickly. You see, the picture by his bedside just a short time ago was Peter Rabbit and his mother calling him to dinner. I began to think of all those wonderful stories that I learned on my mother's knee. A few years ago, I was in Switzerland. One of the first thoughts in my mind as I saw those charming Swiss chalets, those little homes that were nestled there in the side of the Alps Mountains, was the story about little Heidi, the little Swiss girl. You know, my mama read those stories to me before I was 5 years old. Dr. Fred Craddock says that memory is the soil out of which hope survives. Now, our lesson today is the second lesson for the season of Advent. It is a new story that has its real beginning in an old story. The story that held so tightly to a memory that gave the hope to the Hebrew people. It was a story told for centuries by prophets, by the priests, and it was told in the stories around the campfires of the shepherds and kings. You remember, there were no printing presses or news medias to carry this story. The story had to be told from generation to generation. It was passed on from grandfather to father to son, and I have a hunch that it was the mothers who made sure that the story was told and remembered. This sacred story was the hope of God's intervention into the struggle of his people. You know, it survived wars and famine and captivity. As you and I hear this ancient word today, we must hold our breath, and I think we must walk very gently. These are sacred and holy words. Do you remember that Mark sat at the feet of the Apostle Peter, who told him these stories, who told him all that he had seen and heard about Jesus? Scholars tell us that this Gospel of Mark is the very closest thing we have to an eyewitness account of the life of Jesus Christ. In fact, it was Mark who first used the term gospel, which of course means good news. Now just imagine, one day the word comes to you that a man named John is down by the river preaching. Now he is not gently telling a few stories. He is preaching with fierce conviction. And he's calling people down to the river, and he's calling those people who believe in God. Now in our lesson, he is calling to the Hebrew people to repent and be baptized. John was not calling to Gentiles to come, yet his call, of course, was to the kind of repentance and baptism that saved all non-believers. There were those who were just curious about what this strange preacher was doing. Ah, come on, they'd say. Let's go down to the river and see what this kook is up to. And I think they stood off at a distance and they scoffed. Now, of course, there were those who believed that what John was saying about the one who was coming was really true, and so they came. And there were those who felt the sting of conviction that they needed to repent more than John even realized. This was the way it began. It was a new start, a new beginning for the believers in God. You see, this was not a call pointing to the preaching of John. Actually, it was not even a call to acknowledge the coming of Jesus. It was an announcement that God was about to make an entrance into human history, into an entrance that would change not only the course of history, but would also change the direction of individual lives. You know, when I was a pastor of the Bethel United Methodist Church in Tallahassee, Florida, there was a Billy Graham crusade in our town. Months of preparation were made, and the crusade lasted 4 nights. Thousands of people from northwest Florida and from South Alabama and South Georgia and I don't know where else, but they all came to the stadium there to hear Dr. Graham. It was the first time that I had ever witnessed anything like that. By the third night, I realized, though, that most of the people who were attending the crusade were persons who already belonged to a church. And then I discovered that most of the people who responded to the altar calls were church members. Now, of course, there were hundreds of people, hundreds of new converts, but most of the persons were being called to a new beginning. Dr. Graham said, "Everybody come to this new beginning." Now, there were numerous prayer luncheons and gatherings for businessmen and businesswomen. There were rallies for students in the college and the high school. Now, I don't know just how to explain it, but I can tell you that there was in Tallahassee, Florida, in those days, an aura of integrity, a new sense of beginning. Church attendance was actually higher than it had been for years, and that was across denominations. Business people were amazed to find that they were having fewer complaints, and customers were honoring their payments like never before. Even the police department said that they seemed to be having less calls for crime than any time that they could remember. Now, the message that Dr. Graham preached was no different than the message that scores of clergy every Sunday morning were preaching in Tallahassee. Yet I can tell you that something happened when the message went out to everyone in that community. It was like all of Tallahassee was called to repentance and salvation. You know, it was the same message that John the Baptist preached there on the banks of the River Jordan. Now, I want to remind you that we begin this Advent season, you and I begin with this same message of hope. It is a story that has been told across 21 centuries, a story that still transforms lives. We need this story so desperately today. You know, I think of thousands of persons who this very day kind of crouch in the dark corners of the world, who suffer under savage stress of hunger and of fear. Countries where the corruption and greed of a few control the destiny of a whole nation. Just a few years ago, I heard Janet Reno, who was then the Attorney General of the United States, say these words. She said, now I might not say her exact words, but they're very close to the same. Attorney Reno said, "If we begin right now, we will not be able to build enough prisons in America to house all of the children living now who will become criminals." Her words were about the countless children in America who have little or no direction in their lives. You know, they come from every sector. They come from rich and poor alike. Now, friends, if we look carefully at the scriptures, we'll discover this. We'll discover that neither prison reform, national health care, or private schools will offer hope for the future of our children. The gospel message, you see, that's the source of our hope. It is a call to repentance. It is not a suggestion to say, "I'm sorry." It is not a call to offer a prayer and a promise to do a little better. No, friends, listen. It is a command to a profound revolutionary change in behavior. It is not a call to join the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church. This message is so powerful that it is a call to the whole world. You and I, as the people of God, must think in world terms. We must think in the wrong, in the indiscriminate use of the natural resources of the earth, of using power and knowledge to take advantage of ignorance and poverty. It is a call to repentance, to salvation, and to action. Now, friends, in the quietness of the morning or in the gentle setting of the sun, I want you to take off your shoes as you stand on holy ground. And as you stand there, listen with your heart. If you listen carefully, I think you'll hear John calling to you and to me to a new beginning. I want to invite you to do it with me. Let's do it together. You know, Christ is depending upon us. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Dear friend, someone said, when a Christian decides to live his Christianity, then a real revolution begins. Dear friend, today's world needs a real revolution, a spiritual and social change. That first Christmas when Jesus came, God was sending a revolution to our world to change people, people's hearts, and society itself. Dear Christian friend, begin to really live your Christianity. Repent and give your heart anew to Christ and be faithful to Him and to His kingdom in this world. And you'll begin a revolution this world really needs. Thank you for listening to Methodist Hour. And we invite you to write us and tell us about your experience with Christ. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Do write us. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.